Welcome back to the Roundtable. Elmore Leonard, who died Tuesday at age 87, influenced an entire generation of writers with his gritty crime novels and shoot-'em-up westerns. Works like Get Shorty, Freaky Deaky, and Glitz established him as a modern master of American genre writing. His writing was often adapted for the large and small screen, including a short story, Fire in the Hole, which was adapted for television as the FX show Justified and won a Peabody Award in 2007 in its second season. Joe Donahue spoke with Elmore Leonard in 2008, and we air a portion of that interview now in memoriam. It begins with Leonard describing the origins of his 10 rules of writing.
Well, 7 years ago, I was a guest of honor at a mystery and crime writers gathering in Denver, the BoucherCon, which is an annual event. And that afternoon in the hotel room, I thought I might do something a little bit different in my talks. And I wrote my 10 rules for the first time. And at the end of my talk, I gave them. And I don't think there was much of a reaction. I suppose most people thought that I was being funny, and they were kind of tongue-in-cheek. At least I thought they were at first. But since then, I've come to rely on them. Then at the end of when I came down off the stage, someone came up to me and said, and I had the paper in my hand, and he said, "Can I have those?" And I said, "Yeah, here," and handed him the 10 rules. Because I figured if I ever needed them again, I could just make some more up. About a year later, the Times asked me if I would submit something for their Writers on Writing column. So I made up the 10 rules again. And they were pretty much the same, although the original rules had, I think there were about 12 original rules. There were such things as never use a colon or semicolon in dialogue. It may be grammatically correct, but doesn't look right. About a month ago, my researcher and a friend of his in Los Angeles, who's an attorney, they saw these original 10 rules listed on the internet for $600, and they quickly bought them. And they're much the same, but there is a difference. Don't ever write to critics. And don't show your manuscript to anyone outside of the publishing business until you're satisfied with it.
Don't start a book off describing the weather.
That's the first one. That one seemed the most obvious. Although probably the most obvious one for me was using the verb said and not ever modifying it with an adverb.
How much of these came from your teaching, and how many of these just come over time and writing 42 books?
That's the way they came. I collected them as I went along. I think it was last year I had to read the galleys of my first 30 short stories, and I think probably at least 25 or 6 of them were written during the 50s, and I hadn't read them since. And reading the galleys, I noticed there were quite a number of adverbs and an exclamation point here and there, though I was careful about that. I wrote the rules for fun originally, and I said that there are exceptions. You know, if your voice pleases you, then use it, you know. But I used these rules to escape, to remain invisible, so the reader won't be aware of me and be distracted from the book.
Now, your rules are basically for fiction writers, but I guess they could be used for writing in general, couldn't they?
Yes, I was surprised to find that out. Pete Hamill said he thinks they should be mounted on the wall of every newsroom. And I had not thought of that at all. Because I'm not that familiar. I haven't written that much nonfiction. I think the first time was in the late 70s, the Detroit News asked me to write a piece on the Detroit homicide section for their Sunday magazine. And I said, okay, and I was going to spend some time at police headquarters with the different homicide squads. And then I had to read carefully nonfiction to find out what tenses they were using, you know. And I would see more than one tense in a given piece.
You have a rule in here of try to leave out the parts that readers tend to skip. In your opinion, what do readers tend to skip?
Well, I think thick paragraphs of mostly description. I think you've got to be so good to spend any time describing something and hold the reader's attention. But I think the main thing are those thick paragraphs that are deterring. And you thought, oh, my God, you think, God, do I have to get in through that? And you might skip it and not lose anything at all. So I say to the reader, be careful what you're doing there. I mean, make sure you're staying with your story. And, of course, I'm talking to writers, the general run of fiction writers who can be competent enough, but there are writers who are so much better who don't have to worry. And I mentioned Margaret Atwood, for example, in her descriptions, and because I think she's a real joy to read, even though her style is as far removed from mine as possibly possible. If writing wasn't fun, I would have given it up a long time ago, but I finally developed a style that is fun for me. It's entertaining to sit down in the morning and start writing, even though I'm starting later as I get older, to look forward to a day of writing, and write until at least 6, and enjoy it. First, beginning with, from whose point of view is this scene told? Is most of it seen? Well, is all of it seen? And then I select the point of view, and normally it's the main character, and go from there. But to look at the clock later on and find out that you have several more hours of time and think, oh, good, and think that rather than, oh, God, 3 more hours, you know. It's the kind of job to have. But it gets harder because I don't want to repeat myself. There are scenes that will be similar in crime stories. So I do concentrate on the characters. If I get them right, then they guide me through the story and the plotting, because I don't know what's going to happen once I've finished the first, say, 100 pages.
You say that if there was to be an 11th rule, it would probably be, if it sounds like writing, rewrite it.
Yeah.
You're a proponent of rewriting.
Oh, all the time. That's all I do. That's what it is. Now, if I get 3 pages working at least 6-7 hours, that's a very good day. It used to be 5 pages in 8 hours, but as I said, it just gets harder. I do try different things. I try to get, say, different levels of action going in the same scene, maybe a couple of people talking at the same time. Well, that works with the way the scene is, but for the most part, my style is very, very simple, using said, and that's it. They go, and I move all of my books with dialogue. And the information that the reader needs to know is imparted by characters talking to one another.
And that dialogue and those characters, I assume, is what makes them such fodder for Hollywood.
I think so, because they look at the book and they see at least 30 or more scenes, and people are talking, and you know who's good and who's bad, or who's not quite as bad as those who are bad. And you've got a story with a beginning, middle, and an end. But then something happens to most of them when they get in the hands of a screenwriter. So I quit writing screenplays in 93. I just got tired of being told what to write. I don't think that's the way to do it. Taking the advice of, say, studio people or a producer who really doesn't know that much about story, how it develops. So when I write a book, I'm on my own, and I know that my editor likes my work, and I'll hand in, like, the first 100 pages. The editor won't take them too seriously because she knows, and I've had a woman editor the last 2 publishing companies, she knows things could change dramatically. And they do, because I'm making it up as I go along, so that I have to go back and fill in here and there to make something work on, say, page 150, you know. And that's all right. I don't mind that. And I do all my writing in longhand and put it on the typewriter during that same day, so that by the end of the day, I've got several clean pages typed. Then the next morning, I'll start to rewrite. Even if I like the scene and I think it works, I may add some business. I may add cigarettes or a drink or something. I don't know. Just their breaks to make the dialogue work better, set up the dialogue.
When you look at the New York Times bestseller list, do you see lots of things on there that you want to read?
Hardly any.
What does that say about the state of writing and our reading habits?
Well, I don't think the writing is that good. Because I don't read a book to find out what it's about. I read it for the writing, you know. And there are people in my field, like Pelicanos and Dennis Lehane, Westlake, Parker, that I'll buy their books because I have a good time reading them. And they know how to write. They've been doing it long enough. But some of the books now I can't get into at all. They're just kind of tiresome.
That was Joe Donahue speaking with Elmore Leonard on the occasion of the publication of Leonard's 10 Rules of Writing. Elmore Leonard died on Tuesday, aged 87, in Detroit from complications from a recent stroke. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.